You have your Bibles with you. I'm sure you have. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, I wonder how many of you were here last week. Were you here last week? Some of you. About half, right? It's interesting because we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 3 in the first 12 verses. And I've been told I preached on this last week. But, I don't remember doing it. Right. 1 Peter 3, the first 12 verses. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles, wearing of gold jewelry, or fine clothes. Rather, it should be of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right, and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as a weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, for to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. This passage, as you just heard, begins with looking at the relationship between husband and wife. And I was telling the musicians before we came down from the prayer room, I think, as he said, you know, the wives have to do all the giving, the husband just stand there, or words to that effect. It's a brief summary of her words. Yeah, I know what you said. Yes. Well, if you've been here last week, you've heard me say something a little bit different, that wives in the do promise to obey their husbands, but husbands promise to worship their wives. Now, where a wife is worshipped, I'm not sure she'll have a lot of trouble in the house, are you? I don't think they'll have any trouble working together. If husbands love, cherish their wives, and husbands worship them. That should be good, I think. This passage begins anyway, we're looking at the relationship between husband and wife. I wonder why. As Peter sees it, good behaviour would be approved on both the Roman and the Greek society at large. The Roman custom required order in the home as a foundation of order in the state. They thought if the home is set up right, we're not going to have trouble ruling the country. Everyone would be very nice to each other and go the way of the leadership. Plutarch, the Greek biographer and moralist, sets out this good behaviour as standard in the home. This is how it should be. Husband's wife as one, loving and cherishing each other, and walking together, as it were. But Peter is not recommending that husband and wives follow society's values. He set that up, that is the value. But he don't say follow their values. He condemns the Roman and the Greek society as part of the empty way of life handed down by our forefathers. And it echoes a point he made in the previous chapter that the style of life forces people to recognize the Christian faith. Christians fear God. They are free because they are followers of Christ, the royal people of God. No one else has the status and honor of Jesus Christ. And yet he washed Peter's feet. A servant's job. Now that really should speak to our hearts and our lives as we think on that. Jesus, the Son of the living God, the one who died and rose again, all that, he washed Peter's feet before a meal. Took off his clothes, put a towel around himself, and washed his feet as a sign of the servant ministry that you and I are to have as Christians. Amazing, isn't it? But that's nothing compared to dying on the cross for us. Jesus died on the cross for us. And how easily sometimes as Christians we can let those words rattle off our tongue, as it were, without actually taking in the impact of what we're actually saying, the truth and reality. It is Christ's example that Peter is encouraging you and I to follow. He says, be like Jesus. Not just in evangelism, but in our everyday life. How we live our lives is important to God, from a personal basis, but also in a relationship basis with the community in which we live. People notice how we live. They know what Christians do. They can see them when they're at war with each other, with husbands and wives rowing and whatnot. They think, oh, if that's Christianity, don't want any of that. We're called to be like Jesus. And our lives have to match our words and our witness, our actions, and I suggest to you, our thoughts. Behaviour is the source of this scripture that we're looking at. It talks about clothes that we wear. They're corruptible. They don't last. I expect most people here will tell you they wear out, if you can keep them that long. I'm not sure I do, but the clothes do wear out. They don't last forever. They're corruptible. Clothes can make us look very attractive, but that is no substitute for a healthy mind and a healthy soul and a healthy body. A good character is the most important part, I think, of being Christians. A good character. People may think we look smart, but that doesn't mean to say we have a good mind. We may not have a very clean mind, but we can look awfully smart and attractive. And Peter's speaking to this whole situation now, that it's who you are in your very being that is important. How is our conversation? Is it good? Would Jesus be offended if he listened to what we say 7 days a week? We're challenged to be good communicators, but also honest in our words, in the way we treat one another, in our behaviour. Christian behaviour never wears out. It goes into eternity. It may have been in Peter's time that some of the women were so attractively dressed that the husbands were concerned, but so were so many of the other men in the congregation. I think it implies that smartly dressed, attractive women caught the eye of other men in the church. And this is where the relationship between husbands and wives is so important. Both can look good on a Sunday, but folks see us from Monday to Saturday as well. They see our faults. They see us when we lose our rag, when we shout at one another. And then comes the condemnation. Oh, the Christians are hypocrites. You've heard it many times, I'm sure. It underlines the importance of being consistent in our Christian faith, consistent in our behaviour, consistent in our conversation. And if we float about from one world to another in our relationships, we're actually missing the point. We can put on a nice, what shall I put, a Christian thing on a Sunday and actually be someone quite different on the Monday and the Tuesday. So people think, well, they're not very consistent. We see them change from good to bad almost overnight. So the message from here is we need to be true to ourselves, to live the gospel that we proclaim. And it's important for men and women to treat one another with a proper respect, with proper love and understanding. As we looked at last week, the importance for husbands to love, treasure and worship their wives, for wives to love, honour and obey their husbands. And yet together we're called the bride of Christ. So that relationship also needs to speak into how we react as Christians. You and I, we're witnesses. Whether we like it or not, I'm afraid if you come here, you are a witness to Christ. And so when people look at you, they will measure whether or not how deep is your faith. Do you practice what you preach? So often we get condemned as preachers for not practicing what we preach. But it's true for each and every one of us as individuals. We need to be wise folk who know and love the Word of God. We need to be true witnesses to our Lord and Saviour. And again, this truth that we read time and time again, it never really comes home. I think we are joint heirs with Christ. Can you receive that? What God says about Jesus, we are joint heirs with him. That too, I think, is quite a responsibility, isn't it? We are Christ's like reflection or hands, mouth, ears, whatever, here on earth. and we're called to reflect Jesus. Romans 13, 16 says this, very much the same. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. We live in a quarrelsome, ill-natured world. But as Christians, we're called to be so different from what we see on our television sets day by day. We're called to be sincere, to be inoffensive, to be discreet in our conversation. We live in a world where the done thing is to get your own back if someone offends you. He hit me, I'm jolly well going to sock him back. That is the way of the world. You and I are called to be different. We are called to be different. And that dates back to the old Jewish teaching, I think, prior to Christ. You know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If he hits me, I'm going to hit him. Get your own back. That is not what the Bible teaches. That is young Christian, the pagan response to the world. It's our duty to seek peace, to live in peace in our lives, in a troubled world. When people treat us badly, it is the Lord who will take care of revenge. I've said this before. If someone really hurts you, it's not down to you to get your own back. God says, revenge is mine, says the Lord. But so often we spend a lot of time trying to get our own back, to score points on other people. But you and I, we're called to be people of peace. People who are sincere, people who are loving, people who are kind. And as God's children, God's ears are open to our prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. One of the other warnings we get from this reading is this, watch your tongue. How easily we see gossip causing arguments. People's characters being destroyed by the passing on of a word in gossip, which may not even be true. But the damage is done. And I think within the Christian church is one of the areas where Satan has a field day in gossip, in repeating things, second, third, fourth hand, and causing real trouble in people's lives and hearts. And when it's not face to face, there's no way you can defend yourself. We're not called to any, but there's no way you can actually refute what is being said about you. And I think as Christians, we need to be very careful that we don't fall into the world of gossip. It does so much damage. And I think it's a warning too for us. When someone comes to you up and says, oh, have you heard about so-and-so, what they did last week, or who beat who, or whatever? Try and shut it down at that point. Say, I don't want to hear that. It's not easy, because our ears twitch. Oh, what's been going on? Let's find out. That's not what the Lord calls us to do. Gossip is actually listed as one of the sins in the New Testament. It causes so much division, so much harm, so much hurt in the Christian family, especially. And if you do receive it, isn't it easy to pass it on to someone else? So easy. Don't do it. James 3, 6. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and being tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. The Message puts it slightly differently. Summing up. Be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. I wonder if you had a board up here, how many boxes you'd tick, or I would tick, come to that matter. Agreeable, sympathetic, loving, compassionate, humble. It's quite a challenge, isn't it? Well, it is for me anyway. I pray that God will work in us, that we may reflect those words from Scripture. We may be just that. And that goes for all of us. No retaliation, no sharp tongue sarcasm. Instead, bless. That's your job, to bless. You will be a blessing and also get a blessing. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good things, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. Snub evil and cultivate good. Run after peace for all you're worth. God looks at all this with approval, listening and responding well to what he's asked. But he turns his back on those who do evil things. And God calls all of us, you and me, to be blessings. And I've said this before, how do you see yourself as you walk through the week? Do you see yourself as a little blessing? Or a little grumbly? Or a little cursy? How do you see yourself? God calls us to be blessings to those whom we meet. It's quite a challenge, isn't it? That's what the word is telling us here. And Peter lists five characteristics of life that brings blessing. To be like-mindedness. To submit ourselves to one another for Christ's sake. Because that undermines misunderstandings and hostilities. Sympathy means readiness to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. When one part of the body suffers, we suffer with them. It's interesting, one of the examples I heard on Monday this week, our speaker, is saying when we look at the Christian church, it's so easy to think that what we've got is right and all the other Christian denominations are wrong. And he used the analogy of Paul's demonstration of the body of Christ. So if this arm, say the Church of England, and the foot is, say, the Baptist church, the foot gets stubbed or stamped on, does the Church of England say, well, it doesn't really matter? Can you see the point that's being made? We are all part of the body of Christ. We're to encourage one another in that. We may not always agree, but that's not the point. We have all been saved by the love of Christ. We're all going to walk with Jesus. And God wants us to encourage one another in the faith. Knocking other churches, denominations is no good. If our gospel is so good, why do negative things like that? There's going to be no denominations in heaven. Hallelujah. Christ came for one church. There's only going to be one church in heaven. I pray that you and I and all who stand for Christ today are in that one church. We are all part of the body of Christ. We're called to have brotherly love. We are children of the same Heavenly Father, brothers and sisters in Christ. I wonder too if we think about that when we meet here in the church, and perhaps afterwards when we meet together and eat all those lovely scones and things. Do you look on each other as brothers and sisters in Christ? Because that's what you are. I was going to say, whether you like it or not, you are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're to treat one another with that brotherly love and sisterly love. Compassion. We're called to have compassion. When you see people suffering, does it move you? Or do you think, oh, well, they're not very nice anyway? When Jesus walked on earth, he looked with compassion on those people who were suffering, those people who were disenfranchised, the lepers who were cast out by the community. Jesus went to them. The beggars by the street. Jesus went to them. He had compassion, tenderness. And the parable he told the Good Samaritan is a lovely example of that too. Humility, to be gentle and humble in heart. It's a challenge sometimes, isn't it? To be humble. Because again, it's not the way of the world. I think the way of the world is to be arrogant, to be up front, to be aggressive. You and I are called to be gentle and humble in heart. I said just now, you and I are called to be blessings here in battle. God calls each one of us here to be a blessing here in battle to the people we meet, the people we speak to. Day by day, not just on Sundays, but the rest of the day, Monday to Saturday. God wants us to be blessings. I pray that God's going to work in our hearts and our lives, that we may be just that. We put aside all the rubbish that comes from the enemy and seek ways of being gentle, peaceful, loving, compassionate, sympathetic. Then people will know that you and I are disciples of Christ, because that is not the way of the world. We're called to be different. We're called to be like Jesus. Let's pray that God's going to work in our hearts and our lives, that we may be those things. We walk in love with one another. We throw out gossip. We cast out judgment. But we act as little blessings to all the people we meet day by day. Let's pray as we sit. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll help us to be just that. Blessings to those whom we meet. Blessings to our families. Blessings to other people here in the church. Help us to be sympathetic to those who cross our path, who need God's love, God's healing, God's love. Help us, Lord, to be the hands, the eyes, the heart, the feet of Jesus here on earth. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to close with the hymn, Give Thanks to the Lord. And if you want to bring an offering up to the Lord, the basket here is the front, as is our custom. So if you want to do that, come out during this last hymn. Give thanks to the Lord.
All right. If we want to stand and praise, and we'll praise God as and give thanks to him for this service. If we want to stand. It's not that one.